The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. Luke 24, beginning with verse 13. On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unfamiliar with the things that have taken place there over the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago, but there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told them he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had said. They didn't see him. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all the things the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then to enter into his glory?' Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he was going on ahead. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us. It's nearly evening, and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. After he took his seat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were open, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Weren't our hearts on fire while he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scriptures for us?' Then they got right up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, 'The Lord really is risen. He appeared to Simon.' Then the two disciples described what had happened along the road, and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are some familiar roads in Scripture. We travel some of them in Sunday school lessons and in sermons. The Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, is considered to be the path down which Jesus carried his cross. Christian tradition has adopted a practice known as the Stations of the Cross that recreates that path that is walked by believers, especially during Holy Week. It is a practice which invites us into the story, entering more fully into the passion of Christ. It was on the Damascus Road that Saul, a persecutor of the early followers of Christ, was blinded by a light in his vision of the risen Lord, an encounter that resulted not only in Saul receiving a new name, Paul, but in which his life was completely transformed. Well, we owe much of the New Testament to Saul's encounter on the Damascus Road. It lies abandoned for the most part when it comes to paths of spiritual development. Perhaps the most familiar road in Scripture might be the Emmaus Road. The GPS of the Revised Common Lectionary suggests this road is part of our Easter route. Filled with mystery, it has become a road that we all might have imagined walking ourselves. While 7 miles might sound daunting, it's encouraging to think about the Emmaus Road as a spiritual couch to 10K, inviting even the slow of heart to sign up. If you want to experience an encounter with the risen Lord, or if you are just needing trail markers to indicate whether or not you're on the right road, the Emmaus Road might be the Easter journey for you. Scholars have struggled to pinpoint the historical site of Emmaus. Luke's narrative says only that it is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. That's a circle with a 7-mile radius around Jerusalem. The perimeter of that 7-mile circle is about 45 miles. That's if you walk directly from Jerusalem to that outer circle perimeter. But what if it's 7 miles of winding roads through canyons and hills? When we square the distance of that radius and multiply it by 3.14, it amounts to an area of 154 square miles. Emmaus could be anywhere. Now, that might well disturb some detail-oriented types who would like a precise determination on a location of the village before they start off on some 7-mile walk to who knows where. I, however, like the poetic mystery in not knowing. It allows me to see the Emmaus Road as any road between here and there, between me and an opportunity to see the risen Lord. But this morning's scripture reading offers us some suggestions for recognizing the right road. As a travel guide for our Emmaus Road experience, I would offer the wisdom of Cynthia Bailey Manns, who writes, "We will know we are going in the right direction by the signs we see along the way. Are there changes in our behavior that lead to a deeper connection to God's love for us? Does our behavior reflect our love for others in a compassionate and forgiving way? Are we willing to embrace the mystery in our relationships with God and with others? Are we willing to be healed, transformed? Do we have experiences of awe, wonder, or joy that cannot be described? Do we experience God's presence in the depths of our deepest sorrows? What happens if we use these questions to assess the roads that we might have chosen? Let's start with the question of whether the road we're on is leading us to a place of connecting more deeply to God's love for us. What would that even look like? For Cleopas and his traveling companion, walking the Emmaus Road gave them a connection to the love of God as revealed in Scripture. Jesus wasn't exactly sharing never-before-heard secrets. He started with the law and the prophets, stuff they already knew, stuff they had probably heard since they sat on their mama's knee, stuff they heard over and over in Sabbath school and confirmation class. But they hadn't thought about how all that stuff applied to them, how all that stuff connected them to God's love and God's love to them. Does the road we are on connect the dots for us? Do we understand how the stories of Scripture depict the presence and power of God's love in all the places that our road is taking us? The Emmaus Road sure pulled things together for the travelers. Now, even traveling the same familiar road, it took them to a new place, connecting them more deeply to the story of God's love. Here's a tough one. Does the road you're on lead you to loving others in a compassionate and forgiving way? Never mind taking in a stranger you meet on the road, taking him home with you, converting your house to an Airbnb and putting them up for the night. Just striking up a conversation with a stranger can be risky business. And this was no ordinary conversation. Jesus was received into their trust. They had no idea whose side he was on, theirs or the empire's. That whole bit about not knowing anything about what was going on in Jerusalem, it sounds kind of fishy. very easily could have been a front for all they knew. Sharing their story potentially put them in real danger. Yet they were open and authentic with a total stranger. Maybe it was just their nature to make meaningful connections at their own personal risk. Maybe it was not out of their character to share food and shelter with anyone who might need it. Or maybe the Emmaus Road just took them to a place of greater love and compassion for anyone who had a need. There are more roads nowadays than in Jesus' day. Not all of them lead to places of compassion, concern, and trust for strangers traveling alone, carrying the weight of their own needs. The right road will take you there. When on the right road, you will find yourself embracing mystery in your relationships with others and with God. If Cleopas and his friend had been asked by the disciples why they potentially blew their cover, why they spilled their guts to a stranger, why they got out the fine china and comfy pillows for him, they probably wouldn't have been able to explain it had they not been willing to go the distance on the Emmaus Road. At first, they were slow of heart or dull in mind. Jesus' words, not mine. They simply didn't get it. And by it, I mean more than their understanding of Scripture. They probably weren't sure why, but they somehow knew they had to keep this conversation going. They couldn't let this encounter pass them by. They knew they couldn't take the first exit they came to. They were where they wanted to go, but the journey, they knew, still hadn't reached its destination. It was, well, a holy mystery. They could feel their slow hearts warming up more and more with every step they took on the Emmaus Road. It's easy to mistake the Emmaus Road for roads of adventure. The lure of adventure still causes folks to set out in otherwise mysterious directions. There's something about adventure that seems insatiable. After one adventure, the immediate question is where to head next? Somewhere bigger, better, more adventurous. We seem to be innately programmed to follow the road toward one adventure or another. Some of us more than others. But does the road we are on lead to more than another adventure? When was the last time we happened upon indescribable awe, wonder, or joy? Cleopas had taken the same road countless times. Surely he knew the curves of the hills, the straits, and the sights and the dangers between here and there. But never had he ever encountered the awe and wonder of that familiar road as he did that evening, or any other road for that matter. The joy and full recognition of hope resurrected from the depths of despair. He had heard the report of the resurrection, but it left him confused, not knowing how to make sense of it. On the Emmaus Road, the story of the resurrection somehow took form right before his eyes. Awe and wonder transformed and empowered the weary mourners into bold messengers who immediately got up, made that 7-mile trip back to Jerusalem. Having taken the Emmaus Road, they had to share the message of their wonder and the joy with others. The Emmaus Road could be anywhere. Wherever it is, it always leads to transformation to those who travel it. It will always be filled with mystery. It will always lead to places of greater compassion and connection to others and with God's love. It will always lead to places beyond the comforts of home or even beyond our wildest imagination of adventure. It will lead to places filled with wonder and awe, places of joy. But remember the wider context of this Emmaus Road journey. As our travel guide, Cynthia Bailey Manns, told us at the outset of today's journey, you will know you're on the right road when you experience God's presence in your deepest sorrows. That was where Cleopas and his friend were. Post-crucifixion, mid-resurrection, we all find ourselves either there or headed there, times when nothing seems to make sense, times when our hopes seem to have died, times when we can only abandon ourselves to the mystery, allowing the power of the resurrection to transform our lives and our sorrows into boldness and joy, recognizing only then that the presence of Christ is with us and we're on the right road. Amen.